This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This is The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. The company that's on the show this morning started life as a plastics trading firm in the 1960s before venturing into property in 1994. Since then, they've built themselves up to become one of the largest property developers here in Malaysia. And now they may once again be looking at tackling a new industry, glove manufacturing. So to find out more, I'm speaking this morning with Dato' Ho Hong Sang, CEO of Masing Group. Dato' Ho, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Lynn, for inviting me. Good morning.
So before we get into Masing's plans for the future, let's look at this year that has just passed. How badly were you affected by the first version of the MCO, which took effect in March of 2020?
I believe the whole country was caught by this movement control order. Practically no activities was being carried out, and we were just exploring what needs to be done while almost all of us are working from home. So there were positive and negative upon review, upon looking back. Of course, negative simply means that we have lower sales, we have global financials, but they are also positive as far as Masing is concerned. This particular MCO actually forces us to transform speedily. Digitalization actually become more serious. Now, apart from that, because of lower financials, we look at various ways of cost optimization. You see, there's one, we found out that we tell our staff we need to do more with less, make ourselves more productive, make ourselves more efficient. So we conduct doing more or less strategies whereby we believe that in order for them to do more with less, we need to equip our staff. Equip means make them more competent, make them more confident. How do we do that? We upskill them, we reskill them. The organization become more productive, the organization become more efficient.
But of course, you know, understandably, the MCO of last year did extract a toll on your bottom line. Do you expect a similar situation now that we have a second MCO that has just been announced by Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin?
The MCO 2.0 is a bit different from the MCO last year. Construction property, which is one of the service sector manufacturing, they are allowed to operate. Now we are waiting for the standard operating procedures from the respective government agencies, and we will share it with all our suppliers, contractors, consultants, you name it, on how we continue our operation. So we believe that for the next 2 weeks, hopefully just 2 weeks, that operations can still continue, livelihood can still be maintained.
And we're going to get into this a little bit in a little bit more detail. But first, Dato, I want to highlight your new venture, because COVID-19 has meant that glove manufacturers saw supernormal profits in 2020, and a number of players therefore jumped on this bandwagon. So Aspen Group, AT Systematization, to name some. But Masing is by far the biggest entry into the glove sector in 2020. Why decide to go into gloves now when you're already one of the biggest property players in the country? I mean, do you not have faith in your own core business to deliver?
Well, before we go into that question, let me give you a bit of background on this rubber gloves manufacturing, which we have diversified into. We have received all the necessary approval recently at the EGM, which was once again held virtually. Now, the new venture is actually part of the group's plan to expand its manufacturing division and by venturing into the healthcare sector. Now, we leverage on our experience as a plastic manufacturer over the past four decades. This diversification will also be a good complement to our existing core property development business, which is focused on domestic market. Now, basically, property development business for Masing is domestic. We haven't gone international. Now, our first glove factory is in Kapa and Klang and would accommodate 12 lines. And our production will be easily about 3.68 million pieces of gloves. We plan to target production in April 2021, which is just about 8 months after we have announced that we are going into glove business. Property development, domestic business, glove, I think you all know that is predominantly export market. So we have both. We are visible in both domestic as well as international business.
So you've also said that Maseng is targeting to be one of the top five producers of gloves in the country. Now, this is certainly a very big pond in which to play in. Right, we have the biggest glove makers in the world here in Malaysia. And just shy of 4 billion pieces of gloves a year is nowhere near the production capacity of, say, Top Glove, which produces 90 billion pieces of gloves a year. So what is the plan here? Can you give us a timeline on how you will actually break into this top five producers in the country?
In fact, everything started out with a small step. First of all, we do with 12 lines. Adjacent to our current factory, there's another land whereby it's like also almost ready. It's an existing factory whereby we can take over to refurbish, to equip it with all the necessary equipment. And that will bring us to another 12 lines. So it becomes 24 lines. It will be almost like 7 billion.
And when will that be?
You see, actually at this moment, we have received order more than what we can supply already. So depending on the situation, the availability of the space, it can be as fast as in a year's time, we can start moving to refurbish that area to move on to the next 12 line. We have to make sure that our production is efficient, productive. We have to study the market, the world market, where are the demands. And we believe that even though after the pandemic, people are more aware of the hygienic aspect of their health and with our experience, our many years of manufacturing experience and together with market intelligence, we believe that we have a good chance to be among the top five glove producers in the country.
By when, Datuk?
We hope that in 5 years or so from now.
All right. And so how many contracts have you already secured when it comes to gloves? Since you mentioned that you've already received orders more than you can fulfill at this time.
Oh, we have many. We have many, many, more 70, 80 of them, but we are now screening. It doesn't mean that we can supply all of them because we can only produce that much within a certain time frame. So we need to be selective and see who can be our ultimate customers.
The first phase of this glove venture had a price tag of about 150 million ringgit. So this 150 million is for the current planned 12 lines under construction, right? Okay, so considering that you clearly have plans for further expansion, do we have an indication of what the grand total is going to look like in terms of cost of this venture?
We haven't actually reviewed how much we could spend because based on inflation, the prices of the equipment of construction, then we haven't set any capex that for the next expansion. But most likely, more or less, it should be around the same if there's no serious inflation. Yeah.
Is it also on the cards that Maseng might take over other smaller companies that have come into this business? Because one of the advantages that Maseng Group has is over these smaller players is that you have much deeper pockets. So are you on the lookout for any potential acquisitions in this vein?
In any business expansion, besides organic growth, merger and acquisition is definitely part of the consideration. But nothing concrete at this moment. We would explore whatever opportunities that come along and we will make a decision when the time is due.
Then, Datuk, perhaps you could tell us, what kind of average selling price forecast does Maseng have for gloves? Because ultimately, this is going to affect your bottom line and your ability to recoup the investment that you're pouring into this new venture.
Well, Lynn, I am sorry. I won't be able to divulge to you this so-called very strict financial, but based on the market at this moment, it is easily between 80 to 100 US dollar at this moment.
At this point in time, yes. But analysts are also expecting that come 2022, average selling prices are going to fall, some of them say, by as much as half. So if average selling prices come down to, as some analysts expect, $35 per 1,000 pieces, is this still going to be a good value proposition for Maseng to enter into?
That's why what I mentioned just now is we would like to be very productive and efficient in our production. This is a little bit of an advantage what we are having at this moment because we are new in this industry. everything that we do now is to reflect the productivity purpose, the objective of productivity. We have newer machines, operating procedures, automation. So things are newer and more up-to-date, and there's a good chance of being more productive in comparison to maybe certain factories already there for a long, long time. Yeah, so that we can bring the cost lower, compare and make it more efficient for us to sell at a competitive price. Yeah.
But it isn't going to be as efficient for you to produce compared to some of the bigger players who do already have those economies of scale in place because they've been in this business for decades. So ultimately, you're going to lose out on that front. And what's to say that these bigger players will not also be mopping up any of the larger contracts in this region, leaving little left for you?
Well, moving forward, that depends on we are very mindful of that. So it will, we will need to work harder in order to achieve that. No very strict strategy at this moment how to achieve. Mm-hmm. But we are confident as we move along, we encounter hurdles, we encounter challenges. We will handle it accordingly. And we believe we have a good chance to do better.
There's been talk of Maseng Group potentially listing its manufacturing segment, including this new gloves business in Hong Kong. So what kind of a timeline are we potentially looking at for that? And will this encompass your plastics division as well?
The manufacturing sector of the business, probably look at it easily 5 years from now. Yeah.
Do you know yet how much are you looking to raise, or is it too far in the future?
Sorry, not at this moment. Couldn't estimate that far ahead.
I've been speaking with Dato' Ho Hon Sang, CEO of Maseng Group. Up next, a look at Maseng's core business, property. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Dato' Ho Hon Sang, CEO of Maseng Group. So Dato', earlier we were talking about Maseng's new glove venture, but now let's turn our attention to property. You have quite a number of newly launched or upcoming projects, chiefly in the affordable segment. Give us some insight into the number of purchases you've seen since the movement control order, because this past year has not been a very good one in terms of the property sector.
We have a sales target for 2020 at 1.1 billion until 30th of September 2020. That means for the first 9 months of 2020, we have managed to achieve 77% of the sales. And now the year end is over, we are coming up with our total sales for the year 2020 sometime next month. And until 30th of September, the first 9 months of the year, they have achieved a profit after tax of about 70 plus million. So in the year, we have launched predominantly affordable price of properties. We have launched some landed properties in Johor, our Meridian East Township. And we have also launched at Rawang, also landed properties, another 188 units. Very good take-up rate for this too, easily 80 to 90% of the launch. We have also launched some affordably priced high-rise development. So we have a couple of launches this year, basically affordably priced property. Yeah.
I mean, when you mentioned your sales target of 1.1 billion and the fact that you achieved, what was your estimate, 70, 80% of that sales target?
Until 30th of September, the first 9 months, we have achieved about 77% of that figure already. Yeah.
Okay. But this was a revised sales target, wasn't it, in August of last year? Wasn't your initial target 1.6 billion units?
Yes, 1.6 billion. But you know that that would be difficult to deliver due to the difficult times by this MCO. Yeah.
Mm. So taking that into account as well, I mean, how much unsold inventory does Maseng still have left on its books?
The unsold figure is about 700 million. Yeah.
And considering now that we're also staring down the barrel of a second movement control order, do you anticipate that 700 million potentially being at all sold in any kind of reasonable time frame within
probably
this year?
Probably a year and a half or two from now.
Mm. Overall, what is then is your property outlook going to be for 2021, Dato'?
Actually, we believe that this is a recovery year. Why is it so? The vaccine has already been discovered and being used by many countries is coming to Malaysia. I think the PM announced just the day that most likely in February it will happen. And then, you know, the government has pushed out a lot of initiatives, like the current initiative of the home ownership campaign. Then you have the stamp duty exemption for properties below 500,000, starting from this year, the 1st January until 31st December 2025. Then you have the RPGT, you don't need to pay for it. And the bank interest rate is very, very attractive at this moment. Though bank financing is a bit difficult, but the interest rate is very attractive. And developers actually promote very attractive package. So that becomes very attractive during this moment to own a house. So we believe that this is a recovery year whereby we can do better definitely compared to last year.
So is Marsing going to be revising upwards its sales figures then, considering the optimism that you've expressed?
We are going to share the sales figure when we deliver our annual result next month, but certainly it will be higher than 2020, the sales launch and target as well. Yeah.
Will it equal what it was at the start of 2020 or the revised figure?
It should be higher than that, yeah.
The higher than which one, Dato? Yeah. The revised figure?
Yeah, the earlier one. Yeah.
The earlier one, all right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so then I guess the question then also is, you mentioned discounts, the fact that currently property developers are on promotional campaigns, and Chinese New Year, of course, is also the time when you usually see a lot of promotional campaigns when it comes to housing. When you are also in the affordable segment, as most of Marsing's properties are, margins are already low. And with COVID-19, people may be looking at even higher promos and discounts in order to actually motivate them into purchasing a house. So have you seen these margins thinned out compared with 2019?
You know, though the prices can be very affordable, but in order to have I won't say very, very high margin, just reasonable margin. If you look at property development counter, I believe you'll find that the margin is not attractive at all. But we can still achieve that margin by having very fundamental measures, i.e. the time when you acquire the land, you look at the terrain of the land, thereafter you come up with the architectural concept, you can actually do quite a lot of cost optimization that would help you to earn a reasonable profit margin. Yeah.
Hmm. A big location focus for Marsing Group appears to be here in the Greater Klang Valley, Johor, Penang. But considering that the pandemic now is shifting consumer behaviours, catalysing digital adoption that you yourself spoke about in the early part of this interview, it's expected that work-from-home practices are here to stay in some form, which means that people don't necessarily need to live so close to these urban centres. So, you know, in the face of this, are you still going to be focusing almost exclusively on these urban hubs?
Well, it's not easy for people to move back to places which are, say, for their hometown, Perak or Melaka. Maybe Seremban okay, but not too far because it's already a different lifestyle. Which one comes first? They move back and bring up the place, or the place needs to be brought up first for them to attract them to go back. So it's a chicken and egg issue. So for us, we still believe that, yes, work from home, but the home will be still in this area, maybe not physically in the office, but actually in their home. So people have a choice. They can choose those very far away and live there. And if they need to come to the city, they need to spend at least 1 hour, 1.5 hour. They have to pay toll. For those who now generally work in office in the Klang Valley and live in the suburban area, easily they have to wake up 1 hour, 1.5 hour earlier, and you're going to spend at least 400 to 500 ringgit a month extra on traveling and toll charges compared to where you live in urban but high-rise condition. Now, not only that, in many of our developments, actually we give very good facilities. We have big common facilities like Ambotica. We have 4 acres of land in our Lakeview. We have easily 5-6 acres of those, the common facilities for people to enjoy. It's not just a small little green space in our development. We believe that that is a concept to add value to the buyers.
So Marcin Group also has a net cash position of around about 1.1 billion ringgit. Yeah. How much are you going to be land banking this year?
With our current financial position, the bank is also ready to loan to us readily. So it's just a matter of the land, whether it is a reasonable pricing for us to acquire, whether we can turn around as fast as possible. So it's a lot of balancing versus how fast you can turn it around, how much is the land price and whatnot. So it's also related to the financial aspect of it. So that's no fixed figure or whatever, but depending on the condition of the business model.
We've been talking about several issues over the course of this interview, and Dato, and one of the things that you raised multiple times was cost optimization. And despite these cost optimization measures, looking at your numbers, it doesn't really look like that cost optimization was enough to offset the decline in revenue that you saw in the third quarter ended December. So your EBITDA margins came down to 13% compared to 18% in the previous year. Is there anything else that you can particularly do this year to continue those optimization efforts? Is it possible for you to arrest the fall in your EBITDA margins?
Well, those because there's a combination of completed products and also the new products. Those completed products, I think it's a bit difficult because already locked in. For the new one, we would do it in such a manner that what I've shared with you. So that's why we are looking at our operation costs, whereby we want to make the operation more efficient and more productive on the aspect of, say, like what I've shared with you, doing more with less, with lesser number of people or more projects with the same number of headcount. So these are some of the aspects we look at it as well. Be very mindful about sales and marketing. Instead of the conventional way of doing sales and marketing, we look at digital marketing, social platform, and whatnot, which we believe is able to help us to save some costs as well.
One cost that you're likely not going to really see the end of in the immediate term is also the cost of COVID-19 testing, right? As well as the implementation of SOPs. And the government has placed the onus for the cost of testing almost entirely on employers. And both of the industries that Marcin is in right now and looking to get into are very labour intensive. How are you going to manage this particular strain on your operating expenditure?
So far, we are quite okay with it because not very, very big expenses incurred. The contractor managed to get some compensation from SOXO. We also managed to get a bit from SOXO, like our manufacturing. So hopefully the vaccine can come as quickly as possible, and that's able to mitigate part of the cost because actually SOXO can help quite a lot. So for the time being, it's still under control.
Final question, Dato. Your dividend payout ratio, which Marcin has consistently maintained at about 40%, coupled with the new business venture that Marcin is getting into, will you be able to maintain your dividend payout ratio at 40% for your shareholders?
Well, this is a board decision. So far, until last year, it's still 40%. Still too early to talk about it, but as far as I know, because I do not have the board mandate to share with you this figure. But I believe it should be the same as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dato Ho. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Dato Ho Hon Sang, CEO of Marcin Group. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.